Brilliant. Thank you, Frieda. If you want to follow that passage, there are a few Bibles about, and it's on page 1186, if you want to follow it. Now, I wonder how many of you have teenagers at home? A few. Okay, cool. I wonder how many of you have, on occasions, stroppy teenagers at home? Same few. Brilliant. Okay. I wonder how many of you have ever had teenagers at home? Yeah, a few more. Okay, brilliant. I wonder how many of you have ever had stroppy teenagers at home? Yeah, a few. I wonder how many of you have been a teenager? Oh, I think, to be fair, everybody's hands should be up for this one. I wonder how many of you have ever been a stroppy teenager. Of course, teenagers probably think the same about us as well. Now, on occasions with teenagers, conversations can be limited. It could be, you can't make me. It could be just a grunt. It could be everybody else is allowed to. It could be it's not fair. Although, to be fair, Mabel, our granddaughter, says it's not fair. She's 3, and it's usually about sharing toys. Perhaps they say, whatever. Whatever. Whatever gives you the feeling, doesn't it, that they're shutting down the conversation. It makes you think that whatever you are passionate about, or het up about, or angry about, that they are not. They don't care. It's not relevant to them. They don't want to continue that conversation. They just don't care. Whatever, though, whatever, is definitely not the type of response that we're getting from Paul in this letter. In fact, his response is the complete opposite. It isn't that he doesn't care. It is, in fact, that he cares so much that there's no way he can care more. To those new converts in Thessalonica, he is saying that he cares for them more than they can ever imagine. He's saying to them that he cares for them more than it appears. He's saying to them that he cares for them so deeply, and that the forced separation that they are going through is very painful to Paul. In Acts 17, we read about Paul, and we read that Paul and his companions had to leave Thessalonica. They had to leave in a hurry, just after they'd established the church, because their lives were threatened. And in that passage that Frieda's just read to us, Paul uses some very emotional language. He uses emotional language to express how much he cares and how hard he is finding this separation from them. So we're here, we heard Frieda read words like, we were torn away out of our intense longing. We wanted to come to you again and again. We could stand it no longer. We sent Timothy so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. I could stand it no longer. And this is Paul's feelings. This is how Paul is feeling about the separation that he is having to have from this church that he has planted. He cares so much. This is a young church. It was probably established in about AD 51. And Paul wants to be with them. He wants to be with them to strengthen them and to encourage them spiritually. And Paul's feelings are so great that he is absolutely devastated that he can't be with them. He's devastated that he can't be with them. So I wonder, do we ever find ourselves in that same position with those same feelings as Paul, that we are devastated when we find we can't gather together as a group of Christians, perhaps for Sunday worship, perhaps for home group, perhaps for our regular get together with other Christian friends? Do we find when we wake up on a Sunday morning that we have a deep longing within us, that we are going to gather together, that we are going to meet up for fellowship, for worship of God, and we're going to meet other Christians? I know when people have been ill and away for a few weeks, unable to attend, I know that they often say how much they miss the service and the fellowship and the love. And even perhaps when we're on holiday for a few weeks, we miss coming to church. Generally, however, I have a feeling that devastated might be too strong a word for most of us to use. And I wonder if we need to be praying and asking God for him to give us this desire, to give us this joy, to give us this need to meet together as a worshiping Christian community. As a community where we pray and listen and care and learn and grow. Paul is devastated. And in this passage, he's showing how much he cares for these new Christians and how much he cares that he's separated from them. In verse 17, the Greek word he uses for taken away from you was used to refer to children who had lost their parents, or parents who were separated from their children. And we can only begin to imagine the feelings, can't we? It was emotionally painful. Some of us, you know, we know a little bit perhaps about children moving away or about losing our parents. And we know how tough it is. And Paul is experiencing that same sort of pain at being away from this new church in Thessalonica. The separation is painful. And Paul calls them his family. He calls them brothers and sisters. And we are all brothers and sisters as well. We are family. We are the church family. We are the Christian family. And we should want to be together. Yes, there are difficult members of a family, but God has designed us as family, as the basic unity of society. And family is a place where we are accepted just because of who we are. A place where we are accepted just because of who we are, not because of anything we have done or haven't done. The church is the family of God. So Paul cares. Paul is devastated that he can't be with them. And in this passage as well, Paul is warning the new church in Thessalonica. He's warning them about the enemy. Thank you. He says that the devil has been trying to hinder him getting back to them. Verse 18 in chapter 2, "For we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us." And that is the enemy's plans. He does plan to disrupt. He will be planning to stop us meeting together and doing what God wants. And he is devious. He doesn't want us to recognize his actions. But But if he does succeed in stopping us meeting together, stopping us joining together in fellowship, stopping us being strengthened, then we are vulnerable. We are vulnerable to temptation. Perhaps other things become more important. Perhaps we feel that church doesn't do anything for us. And Satan is happy with that. If we're not focusing on God, he is well pleased. In James 4, we're told to resist the devil and he will flee. But actually, the process is not always easy. And to be fair, God does sometimes use the actions of the enemy as part of his plan. Maybe to keep us humble, like he did with Paul, with his thorn in the flesh. Maybe to push us into waiting on God in prayer, as happened with Daniel. But we do all need to be aware that the enemy is at work. We don't need to focus on him. We need to focus on God. But he will be wanting to be at work. And I just wonder if, with all the uncertainty about the church plant, if we are actually giving the enemy rather too much access into our individual lives and the life of the church. We do need to continue to meet together, to talk together, to share together, to pray together, to encourage one another and to strengthen each other. Perhaps as we meet in home groups, perhaps as we meet in other groups, perhaps we can arrange to meet up with friends at this time in order to chat and to pray and to be encouraged. Pray that we hear clearly from God and from God alone. The people who are employed and working with Inspire in Ipswich, they meet to pray each day at 12 noon, and they pray for the people and the churches involved in Inspire in Ipswich in this deanery, and they pray for these people by name. Just knowing that we're lifted up in prayer is an encouragement, but we need to do our part as well. And even if we are aware of God's voice, even if we are aware of what God is calling us to do, it can still be costly. And Paul found that. He was struggling at not being with this new church in Thessalonica. Thank you, if we can have the next slide. He was struggling with not being with them. And so he decided that the next best course of action was to send Timothy. He sent Timothy to go back to this young church. Timothy was able to get into Thessalonica. He wasn't quite so noticeable as Paul. And he was able to go and find out what was happening within this young church. But it meant that not only was Paul unable to be there, but he then also lost his companion in Timothy. It meant that Paul was alone in Corinth and Athens for several months. And that was tough. And that was a sacrifice. So even though Paul was doing what he felt God was asking him to do, it didn't mean that it wasn't costly, and it didn't mean that it wasn't without sacrifice. And I would imagine that these last few months and these next few months here at St. Matthew's are also going to be costly. Even as we personally pray to hear God's call, is he calling us to go on the church plant? Is he calling us to be part of St. Matthew's and the regrowth here? Even when we know with certainty what he has laid on our hearts, it is still going to be costly. It is still going to be a sacrifice. There is going to be loss. It's going to hurt. But we do have to be in the place that God calls us to be. We have to be in the place that God calls us to be, so that we are part of the growth that God has planned for us. So three things. three things that we need to be aware of. Let's ask God, thank you for another note. Let's ask God to be passionate about keeping friendship up, about keeping fellowship, about meeting together as Christians to support and care for each other. Let's ask God to keep us aware of the devil's tactics so that we're not caught out. He has been defeated, but he's still trying. We need to focus on God, but we need to be aware. And let's ask God to help us as we make difficult decisions, costly decisions. But help us also to know that God has amazing plans for us, whether it's here, whether it's at St Nick's, wherever it is. He has amazing plans and he wants each one of us to be part of it. Just to finish, I'm going to use the last few verses that Frieda read from that passage. And I'm going to use it as a prayer as we remember those points, as we are aware of God leading us and directing us. So let's pray. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Amen.